Turn our Bibles tonight to the book of James. Book of James. We've been studying through the book of James for, I don't know, about 4 months. Since I got here. And, you know, listen, there's a lot there. There's a lot there in this book. And so sometimes I was going in and looking at some of these things. And, of course, there's been other things that interrupt us on the way and so forth. But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, wow, we talked about that. He dealt with that. That was like months ago we talked about this epistle. Well, that's the problem when you take months to go through one letter. You see, it's all one thing he's still dealing with. James chapter 3. James in chapter 3. And in verse 1, we dealt with some of this already the past couple weeks, but we're going to just hit the beginning and get going here. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Let's pray together as we get started this evening. Oh, Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for your word, thankful for your people. We're thankful for this place that we might meet together in. Lord, I pray that you would bless. Lord, we as we give thanks to you, Lord, we're asking you as well to come and meet with us now and speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we need this truth. Lord, we need this truth so desperately, each one of us. Lord, would you help us? Would you encourage us and direct us in it? And we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk about, number one, the effect of the tongue. The effect of the tongue. The tongue could get you in a lot of trouble. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? The tongue could get you in a lot of trouble. We can say things that will ruin friendships. I mean, just, you know, in a moment, and maybe in a lot of moments, could say things that could ruin friendships. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons have said things that have caused years of silence between them. I can't tell you about the people I've met that something happened and for decades they didn't speak. And I can remember this fella that I talked to in this kind of situation happened. I asked him, well, you know, what caused that? And he brokenhearted about it, that he hadn't talked to his daughter in so many years. And I think it was like 20 some years. I can't remember exactly. And I said, what was it? You know, and he said, well, it's just, this thing happened. It's just a nothing thing, really. It's just a little thing. I said this, and she was mad, and I said this, and I hadn't talked in all those years. Husbands and wives had said things that ended their marriage. You know, the president can say the word and will cause our nation to go into war, send our troops into battle. A judge can change the course of a life, family, and friends with a guilty or not guilty verdict. Parents can affect the direction of their children with their words. But the tongue can do great things. It can tell someone about the grace of God. It can teach them of the joys of salvation. The tongue can praise, it can pray, it can preach. It can lead a sinner to the Savior. Wow. The wonderful power of the tongue. It's so much more than just simple words, isn't it? Remember when we were kids, we'd say this, and sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt me. Now, we used to say that. That was a lie. That was a lie. The reason we said that is because somebody just hurt us with the words. You know? The other one, "I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say bounces off me and sticks on you." Yeah, we used to say all those things. We didn't mean it at all because it hurt. That's why we're making that stuff up. Man, words are more than just words. Number two, though, the tongue has the power to direct. to direct. Look at verse 3 again. He says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Sorry, it's a little bit too much for me. All right. So we find two illustrations here of the power of the tongue. So we find this, the bit in a horse's mouth. So a horse is a very powerful beast. Able to carry men. Can you do that? Right? I mean, not very far. You know, plow fields, pull wagons. I mean, these are strong beasts. Now, all that power is directed by a small piece of steel that sits on the horse's tongue. I mean, it's really relatively. I've ridden horses and from time to time here and there, but I'm not a horse. I'm not a cowboy. You know, I don't know about these things. But I think, what is this? You see it. You see a bit outside of a horse. It's just there. You're like, seriously? That's that little thing. Of course, there's some reins and all that, but it's that thing. It sits on that thing. It sits on the tongue, and all that power of that beast is directed by that piece of steel you can move its whole body. By the way, it's not the reins, it's what the reins are connected to. By the way, it's not his head, it's that bit that's in his mouth. The one that controls that bit on the tongue of the horse directs the horse in all of his movements. It's pretty cool when you see it and you get up there, you're like, I don't know how to ride a horse, just grab those reins. Okay, what do I do now? Just pull it one way and the horse will go that way. I don't trust that. You go, and you're like, the horse is like, all right. I mean, you need a ladder. Sometimes you need a ladder to get up on these things. You know, one of my daughters, when we were in Sri Lanka, we did horse riding lessons. That was Kayla. And did horse riding lessons. It was British style, so it's kind of weird. Anyway, but we did that. And they'd have a thing, you'd walk up on this, and you get on that horse, and you're thinking, how is this? This thing's big, a little scary. And you realize, I just pulled that thing, and that horse says, all right, wow, the power that's there. You can literally control a whole massive beast by its tongue. Should you lose control of that bit? You lose control of the horse. I was when I was in England, I used to go to rodeos when I was in England. Yeah, I know that's weird. And I had some friends. They were want to be cowboys. They had horses. We did this thing. So they had this stagecoach thing. They did this whole program for schools that stagecoach, and the robbers would come and get it, and then the good guys would come and they would get the robber, and you'd open up, it's a bunch of candy, you throw it out to the kids. It was a lot of fun. So okay, I said I rode horses. I've ridden horses, but I'm not like a horse rider. You know what I mean? I've ridden them. But so anyway, I'm like, okay, let's get on and we're going. I'm thinking, yeah, I can handle this. They said, you get to be one of the good guys. I'm like, all right, I like being the good guy. We're going on this horse and I'm going, I'm chasing the stagecoach and we got guns with blanks, right? They were blanks. And so I go out there, we're going to chasing, and as you get chasing the bad guys, you start shooting the gun. What they didn't tell me is this horse wasn't used to gunfire right next to it. And I wasn't used to be on a horse that wasn't used to being around gunfire. So there's video. There's actually video. I don't have it, but there's video. The horse was standing straight up in the air. I'm standing, and somehow I lived. You know, I had a hold of that thing, and I'm just, I don't even know what. It was so fast. If there wasn't been video, I'd have thought nothing happened. But I'm up here, and then it came back down, and I'm like, nope, we're done. Man, them beasts are a little scary when they get out of control. You know, man, alive, I'm done shooting at things. We're just, my heart finally slowed back down. And the horse can be a powerfully destructive force on the one trying to control it, right? as well as those in the surrounding areas. I seen this video of this bull. There's bull riding, and it was chasing, and it jumped out into the crowd. I don't want a bull jumping out at me. You know what I mean? Now, we don't put bits on bulls. Probably we should. But listen, I'm just saying there's a challenge here. And this is the kind of illustration that the Scriptures are giving us, this control with this thing of the tongue. But it's also said of the ship. And so though the ship is massive, right? None of our family, I guess, have ever been on a cruise. And so we'd actually never seen a cruise ship till we got here. We went down there and we're just like, whoa. I mean, they're massive. It's fun to just go down there and look at them. I couldn't imagine. I don't know if you could ever find your way. But they're just so massive. You're like, how does that sit in the water and not just tip over or sink or something? It's amazing. It's huge. And that ship, though it's massive, it's turned about by a relatively small rudder. I seen video the other day. I think this is I can't remember one of these harbors. I can't remember. It's Miami, I think. And the boats, they come out sideways, and then they go forward. Some of the things they do, it's just amazing. You see these massive, I don't know how many people, all kinds of this. The whole thing, this little rudder, but then the whole thing is controlled by a helm, a wheel that moves and directs this massive piece of equipment. It goes wherever the governor listeth, wherever he wants. Let's go over there, right? And let's move this whole thing. It's an amazing thing. He is in control, right? So one of the things that can be seen with both of these illustrations that James gives us here is that there is a contrary force. There's a force going for the horse. The force is his own power and his own strength and his own will. You ever seen a stubborn horse? I mean, those of y'all been around horses. We have a friend of ours. She was kind of a cowgirl, I guess, and she would go to camp and do horse riding, trail rides, and she'd always do that. Well, she got on a horse one day that didn't, it was stubborn, had its own will, slammed her leg into a tree, and she has dealt with serious issues the rest of her life. You respect the power of a horse when it destroys your leg, right? Listen, it's the force of that horse is contrary to that bit. Who wants to be controlled by that? Right? So you see, there's times that it does it. For the ship, it talks about here that it is the fierce winds that want to control it. These fierce winds that want to dictate where the ship goes. And by the way, can I tell you, that's the nature of the tongue. The nature of the tongue, though it has such great power to direct the body, we have an old nature that fights against us and wants to direct us into sin. You ever said something or you start to think about something to say and you say, I'm not going to say that, and then you say it? I'm not going to say it. No, I'm just saying it anyway. And the tongue just, you know, I appreciate, we had a fellow visit here. He came by Saturday morning. We were out here and he pulled up and was asking some questions. And maybe, I think he'll come maybe one of these days. And he said, yeah, I've been visiting this church and that church. He said, yeah. And I said, oh, how's it going? He said, yeah, he said, that church over here, he said, that pastor, he said, I don't want to say anything. Nope, I'm not going to. I thought, amen. Good for you. I don't need to hear that stuff. Amen. That's a challenge. Because that tongue wants to wag on its own, doesn't it? We need the Lord to take the helm. Except for that would be like, I want to be in control. And we say, okay, Lord, you take the wheel. And we're like, okay, but I'm going to keep one hand on. Just in case I decide I want some back. Sometimes I just need to tell them what I think. Now, I know you, other people out there would say that. We wouldn't say that in here. Amen? Other people. Look at verse 4 now. He says, behold, all the ships which, though they be so great and are driven fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The tongue, so small it is, but it has the power to change the direction of the whole body. Verse 5, he says this, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So I want to talk about the third thing. The tongue has the power of fire. So, fires are started by kindling, right? Just a spark can set a forest or a building or even a city aflame. I mean, just a spark. Listen, you could burn down. I mean, so many of these. Remember Smokey the Bear? Only you can prevent forest fires. You know, a lot of forest fires were started by just throwing a cigarette butt out the window and a forest fire. The Great Chicago Fire of 18-something or other. I'm saying something or other. I can't remember the date, but people, it was started like a little small fire. Still don't know completely, but it's thought that it was just a small fire in a barn. And destroyed half of Chicago, and million—I think it was $400 million, 100 homes, 100,000 homes. Say $400 million—that's not bad. Well, then it was bad. That was a lot. Set a city aflame. Fires are destructive. Look at verse 6 here. He said, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of what's that word?" Iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Wow, that digressed quickly. I thought we was just talking about ships and bits and horses, and now the tongue has the power of fire. Listen, the tongue has the power of iniquity, sin. What he's talking about. Sin will often spark from the fire of the tongue. It just starts there. Yes, it began in the heart, but it was allowed to flow to the tongue. Once unleashed, the tongue is now set on fire of hell. I've heard good Christian folks let their tongue loose and just say stuff like I've already mentioned. Well, they needed to hear that. They needed to hear that. You know, because we're the arbitrator of what people need to hear. Right? By the way, I don't know that anywhere in the Bible that telling about the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the hope of eternal life, I don't find that anywhere. That's a problem, right? But often, what it turns from me wanting to tell them about what God has done for them, and I want to focus on what they've done to God. You see, we can begin this fire. This tongue just gets loose, and there's this thing, and we say, you know, they needed to hear it. I mean, guilty. You know, I've said things like that. Well, they needed to hear it, bless God. And I feel pretty good about myself because I really told them. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that and I'm saying that in shame. But you know, you find yourself there, started here and it got there. And you know, you said something like, well, I probably shouldn't have said that. But, right? I'm just saying this is kind of, the tongue it's got the power of fire in it, destructive. Things will be said that rip through a church. I mean, listen, people will say things that will rip through a church and hurt people. Rip through a family and through very friends. It'll just words that are said. You know, a bucket of water might extinguish the flame, but the damage has been done. You know, you're going, you don't just, after a fire, okay, the fire is out, let's go back to living. That's the whole thing, isn't it? The whole cleanup process, and it's never the same. Often you have to rip walls and ceiling and furniture and take it all out and put new stuff in there, and it's never the same. Some of the damage will never be able to be restored that we do with this thing. Never. I wish I had a rewind button sometimes. You know what I mean? Man, I'd do that over again. I'd do that differently. Things have been said by a Christian. Let me do an air quote. A Christian, whether they are, I don't know. Things have been said by a Christian to an unbeliever out of bitterness, anger, and strife. The damage to that unbeliever can be resentment to the church. I can't tell you about how many wives that their husband didn't come to church. And they went home, the wives went home and complained to their husband about the situation. Well, the pastor this or you know, Mrs. this did this. And they tell something and the husband's at home and he's like, that's why I don't go to church. And later on, you know what she's going to do later on? She's going to want him to get saved. She's going to want him to come to church. See, I ain't going to that church. Remember that you said about the preacher saying this thing, or you said about Miss such and such doing that thing, or this one doing. Why? She said, well, yeah, it's okay now. Damage is done. You don't just clean the smoke out of that. You know what I'm saying? It's done. And the damage to that unbeliever can be resentment to the church, resentment to the pastor, and even resentment to God. I believe that much of the hurt and harm to the world has come from the tongues of angry believers. Listen, when lost people tell other lost people about how bad Christian people are, it's whatever. It's what we expect. But when people that are supposed to be God-fearing believers of the Lord Jesus Christ talk about how bad other believers are, it's great damage. I imagine there's going to be some shame and tears and weeping behind that very thing in heaven. For the believer, I don't know if this works like this. I don't know. I think God can have video recording. If we can have it, He ought to be able to have it if He wants it. I don't know if there's going to be a big screen TV. I don't know how it's going to work. And God just shows this video of us, you or I, one day, this occasion, and how we've used this tongue. The Bible says we're going to give every account for every word. I hate that idea. You know what I mean? Everyone. This is just my opinion. I think much of the hurt to the world has come from the tongue of angry believers. Can I say this though, along on this thing? Taming the tongue is no small feat. Taming the tongue. Look here, verse 7. He says, For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We can handle any other animal, any other beast. I mean, imagine somebody opening up a lion's mouth and sticking their head and you say, what is wrong with that guy? He's tamed it. That lion, you know, that lion at any time can go rip his head off and be done and swallow and be done. But he's tamed it. Snakes, you see people carrying these snakes around. They are insane. Why would anybody do that? Right? I mean, there's just something wrong. But we can do that. That's what he's saying. We've tamed every beast, and man can do that thing. But listen, as we see here, this tongue, it's just not dealt with lightly. He says there in verse 8 again, he said, but the tongue can no man tame, and it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Can I say, James has been dealing with this thing of the tongue all the way, all through from chapter 1 and chapter 2 he deals with it. Now he's kind of, let me just unfold this thing, what God really thinks about this. It's full of poison. You know how poison works? It works slowly. You ever done this? You have done this. I'm going to tell you already. We've all done this. Somebody says something to you. You're like, oh, okay. And you go home and you think about it like constantly. You're rerunning that thing. It's just, and the longer, every time you rerun it, you just get a little more angry, a little more bitter, a little more poisoned. It's that poison that just somebody gave us off their tongue. It's just eating us up. I'm telling you, it's like it's an unruly evil. It's the cause of so much hurt and harm. It'd be wonderful if it were as easy to tame the tongue as it were to tame a wild beast. It'd be wonderful if we could, like we could, every other beast, if we could tame the tongue that way, it'd be great. But it's something that we can't muscle through. Well, I just need to try harder. Trying harder doesn't cut it. It's unruly, which means you can't rule it. This is discouraging. Thanks, preacher. So you're just telling us how bad we are. Well, yeah. I'm just telling you what God says about how bad that thing is. Listen, we can't tame it. It is only by the grace of God. Amen? It's only by the grace of God that we can tame the tongue. That doesn't really help, does it? I'm going to tell you what to do. You want to tame your tongue? The grace of God is the only way to do it. Whew, thanks. Now what? Don't you hate stuff like that? I hate stuff like that. It's like we say something that sounds Bible-y, right? And you're like, okay, so I can't do it, but the grace of God can do it. Okay, and then we're done. Well, how do we do that? This is tough stuff sometimes. Here's the thing. We fail too often in this endeavor. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9 here. He says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Can I say it this way this evening? It's not okay to speak of sin and hurt and wickedness like it's just a part of our lives. Can I tell you, we ought to have a new tongue. How do we get a new tongue? Well, the same way we get a new heart. You see, we get a new heart. By the way, it's not what goes into our body that defiles man. It's what comes out, what comes from the heart. So you know how we control the tongue? Now we tame the tongue by letting God change our heart. See, that's the place, and I'm telling you it's not okay. We ought to change our lingo. Well, that went silent. Okay. The things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. See, there's some things that change in our conversation. Some jokes I don't speak about anymore. Some jokes I don't laugh about anymore. Some things that I don't say anymore. Well, I used to do this. Well, I don't do that anymore. By the way, I'm not changing my history because my history is still there. But from this point, there ought to be a defining line, you know, like before COVID and after. Right? It ought to be before I was saved and after. There's something that's changed, something that's different. Listen, this tongue, it's set on fire. It controls and directs our whole life. Let us not be light in speaking of sin as if it's just okay. Listen, if we're going to speak of sin, we ought to speak of sin as the way God would want us to speak of sin. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's disgust. It disgusts God. It hurts me and it hurts those around me. I'd like to do. Let me tell you what I'd like to do to this one. No. No, don't let that get out of your heart. Let's be careful. And how we would go about it, exposing the so-called failures of others, we can begin to spend a lot of time. It feels good to succeed where others have failed. Do you know what I mean? It feels good to, well, this is the thing, but this is what they did, but I'm better. Right? Let's be careful of what comes out of our out of this mouth, because it's really, really talking about what's coming from our heart. You ever heard somebody say something like, man, I don't know why I said that. I don't believe that. Well, where'd it come from? Well, I didn't mean to say that. I don't really believe that. Oh, yeah? Where'd it come from? Space? Aliens? They probed your brain? What? No. You know, as a matter of fact, the Bible says there's only one place it comes from. That's from our own heart. It's better to say, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong, and I want to make that right. I'll tell you, it doesn't always clean up all the smoke, but it'll do a big job to help. You know what I'm saying? It'll do a big job to help get through that thing. What a great fire we can kindle with this tongue. But then the last thing here, number four. The tongue has the power of peace. Verse 11. He says, does the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Listen, here's the thing. The tongue also has some great power to help. All right? Hey, listen, there's some sweet water that flows from the tongue. The kind that encourages, it blesses, it exhorts one another. It brings health and it brings life. Listen, even the gospel to those in need. Listen, I'm saying there's sweet water that comes from the tongue. But when that tongue blesses and curses, it brings confusion. It brings confusion. You know, let your walk talk, right? Not your talk, let your walk talk. See? He talks about in other places, it's by the conversation of our life. We're going to see that. Right? It's how we live and how we live at this thing. And so it becomes something that when I say something over here, right? I say something over here, And I'm talking about things, that, you know, how terrible, and I'm cursing things, or I'm blessing some. Man, God is so good. God is so good. Man, I hate life. You know, God is so good. He just blesses me so much, but I never feel good. I'm just terrible, and life is miserable. I've seen some godly saints. They were very, very sick, but they still just kept pressing on for the Lord. You say, well, you think everybody should be like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, listen, when we bless and then we curse with the same mouth, we talk about how good God is, but then how miserable my life is. It's confusing. And then we want to tell somebody, hey, my God is so great, you should meet Him. And then we talk about how I don't have time for church, or yeah, I'm busy, or I got this, or that other thing, or yeah, I don't. And they're thinking, wait a minute, now, you know, those people down in that church, they're a bunch of hypocrites anyway. Man, I'm telling you, if there's anything we've ever been blamed for, the most thing, and we're hypocrites. That's what church people are all hypocrites. I mean, that's, you talk to lost church people, are all hypocrites. They've been to church once. And that time they were all, that's just kind of, and so, listen, there's this thing going on. We diminish the blessedness of the tongue when garbage also follows. But there's peaceable water found there. Verse 13, he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You want your tongue to be tamed? Then God is going to have to be the lion tamer. Yeah. And He does that through the Word. This is what God uses. By the way, He doesn't use your harsh words to someone else to tame their tongue. Right? He uses His Word is what tames our tongue. It's His wisdom. Living out that wisdom. That's the key to taming the tongue. He talks about out of a good conversation. His works with the meekness of wisdom. His wisdom. That's the key to taming the tongue. Is living in God's wisdom. Because it's a change of heart. So it's the change of heart that changes the tongue. Amen. We get that tonight? How do I tame my tongue? How am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to tame the tongue? Well, it's a change of heart. We change how we look at this world, how I look at myself, how I look at God. Look at verse 14. He says, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Don't think that you will master the tongue either by either concealing its wickedness or giving forth sweet water without a change of heart. Don't think you're going to get this done without changing your heart. Well, I'm just going to try to say nicer things. Man, I've tried being nicer. I've tried being nicer doesn't really work. Because then I get sick of people. You know what I mean? Or people say really stupid things back to you. You're like, oh, man, now it's time. You know what I mean? It just comes. But when our hearts changed, the fuel of that fire has changed. There's no fuel there. It says when you remove the lumber, when you remove the wood, the fire goes out. It's a whole lot different. Listen, thinking that we can tame our tongue without changing our heart is devilish. That's what he says here. It brings confusion and evil. It's actually the devil's work. Is the devil sitting on one shoulder and angel sitting on the other shoulder like the cartoons? Do they have cartoons that still do that? Used to be, yeah. They do this thing, and it's kind of maybe a little bit like that in the sense that the Satan wants to he draws us, entices us of our own lust, and the Spirit of God is telling us do right, and the devil is causing us to say it's okay. They need it. They need to be chewed out. They deserve it, right? So he says, it's the devil's work. It's his wisdom that does such things. But there's an alternative. Amen? There's an alternative. Look at verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Man, I absolutely love those verses. Just reading that, makes it feel like a sweet tongue. Just feels good. I also love ending a chapter with this. That's a nice way to end a chapter. I hate ending a chapter with "your tongue is set on the fire of hell." I hate ending the message with that. So we find this situation. The tongue, though it offends, folks, we're going to offend, okay? We're going to do that. If you don't offend anybody, you're the perfect man. and so it's going to happen. It directs the whole body. It's set on fire. It's unruly and it's evil. It can also be sweet, but not both at the same time. We could choose who we will allow to be in control. But he says there, it's first pure, meaning it's clean, innocent. You can choose. That's what I'm going to say to you right here. You can choose to have a heart that is pure from right now. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I mean, it's too late for me to be pure. Okay, we can't change history. History is done. You say, well, I mean, even on my way here, I said something, and I'm really convicted tonight about what I said. I wish you wouldn't have preached this message. I wish you'd have told me you were talking about that, so I could have not done that thing. Listen, this is the wonderful thing about this. History is finished. It's behind us. But right now is the present, and we can start with that pureness beginning right now. Right now. I mean, listen, whatever was before, whatever was yesterday, whatever was going on back there, listen, let's just first, he says there, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Let's start there today. Let's just decide right now. Listen, I haven't been like I should. I haven't been clean. And the things that have said come out of my mouth come from an impure heart. Come from a not so innocent. I've done things that I regret, wish I wouldn't have. I've asked God to forgive me, but I still feel that cling on there. Listen, first pure. Can't undo yesterday, but you can follow that wisdom from God from right now and be pure. Then what will flow out of your tongue will be peace, gentleness, easy to be entreated. You ever met people easy to be entreated? That means you try to talk to them about something and they listen. That's a rarity. You know, you try to talk, hey, listen, you did this thing. I just want to kind of talk to them. Like, okay, I'd like to hear about that. No, usually what we find ourselves doing is like, well, you misunderstood me because I was right and so you're probably wrong. No, when we're first pure, easy to be entreated. To be transformed into His image. A tongue that drips with mercy and good fruits without partiality, but giving it to all that are near you. Not a hypocrite, he talks about here. The result of that tongue is peace. Nothing greater can be given to others than the peace that comes from the wisdom of God. So what's it going to be tonight? A tongue set on fire of hell, or one that sows peace? We get to choose. Let's all stand. Father, I pray.